Our scripture this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, beginning in chapter 22 with verse 34. Listen for God's word. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with this question. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. May God add his blessing to those reading, or that reading of his holy word. Let's have a prayer for a moment. Our God, help us to love you and love our neighbor wherever that neighbor may be. Help us to not only hear the word, but live it through Jesus Christ. Amen. Title of the sermon is The Main Thing is Keeping the Main Thing the Main Thing. Stephen Covey offers a wonderful parable about priority management. He fills a large transparent bowl with some large rocks, and then he asks the audience, is the bowl filled? And it kind of looks filled. Well, then he takes some pea gravel and he fills in the bowl some more and says, is the bowl filled? And a few people say yes, some say no. Well, then he takes sand and he fills the bowl to the very brim and says, now is the bowl filled? And again, people aren't quite sure what to say. And finally, he takes water and fills the bowl to the brim. And then he asks the question, what is the point of this parable? And someone always says, you can always fit more in. And Covey says, no, no, no. The point is, if you don't put the big rocks in first, you can't put them in at all. We're beginning a series of sermons on keeping the main thing the main thing. How do we set and keep priorities? How do we escape the tyranny of the urgent so we can do what is most important? How do we come to the terms with the fact that the enemy of the best is the good? In Covey's words, anything less than a conscious commitment to the important is an unconscious commitment to the unimportant. What are the big rocks, the essentials of life? It's hard to keep the main thing the main thing. You know how it goes. Yes, my kids are only young ones, but this work assignment has to get done. I really should go on a diet. I should lose some weight. I should eat better, but things have to slow down. Right now, things are just too crazy. I can't think about it. No, my wife and I really haven't talked for a month, but we'll be okay, I think. Or no, I shouldn't have volunteered to lead the Save the Chickens fundraiser. But I have trouble saying no. It's hard to keep the main thing the main thing. Life distracts us until we end up feeling like we all need some Adderall. A few weeks ago, I've got a day off, and nothing is on the calendar, and I think, hooray. Marianne's at work, I'm home alone, and I think, you know, this is glorious, nothing to do. Well, I tidy up the kitchen, I do the laundry, and then I notice the stack of bills. So I said, well, okay, I'll start on the bills. Working on the bills, wait a minute, Sports Illustrated double billed me. So I get on the 800 number, call them, 15 minutes pass, 30 minutes pass, 45 minutes before I finally get through to Sports Illustrated. I finish the bills and then I realize I'm out of stamps. So I hobble out to the car, and on the way to the car, I'm thinking to myself, you know, I need a haircut. The car needs an oil change, and my brother's birthday just passed, and I ought to give him a call, and there's this molding on the pillar on our front porch, and it really does need painting, and oh, and there's my neighbor, and I should be more neighborly, and his wife isn't doing really well, but when he talks for an hour, and oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And by this time, I'm trying to remember, now, what is the main thing? Well, that's a question addressed to Jesus in our text. A legal expert approaches Jesus and tests him with a question. And this word test means, is used in Satan's attack on Jesus in the wilderness when Satan tests Jesus. So the Pharisees has a sinister intent. Teacher, he says, what is the greatest commandment in the law? Now at this time, the law of Moses had 613 commands. There were 248 positive commands, which dealt with parts of the body. I didn't know we had 248 parts. 365 negative commands dealing with the time of the day, each day of the year. So every part of ourselves, every day of the year was subject to the law. But if Jesus raises up one law as being more important, the Pharisee would say that you're annulling the rest of the law. So Jesus would say, key laws do not kill, and the Pharisee would say, oh, so you feel adultery is permissible, and gossip doesn't matter, and idolatry is fine, and the Pharisee's kind of licking his chops. Jesus replies simply, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the second commandment. That's a good Hebrew response. The Old Testament listed love of God, love of neighbor. Jesus is the first one to put those two together. And his implication is we show our love for God by our love for one another, and we're probably not going to be able to love our neighbor very well unless we're connected to God. One thing is clear, we are made for love. Without love, we wither. With love, we grow and we blossom and mature and develop both roots and wings. Lila was born in Nepal to a very poor family. Her family was too poor to send her to school, so from the age of 4, she carried water and did chores and sewed handicrafts that her family sold to eke out a living. And sadly, her father drank and beat her, and her mother pretty much ignored her. When Lila was 9, a man came to Lila's village and offered $200 for her. And to a poor family, that seemed like a fortune, and just that quickly, Lila was sold. Within 2 years, Lila is a prostitute in northern India, and she's scorned as a foreigner, as being immoral, and as being a non-Hindu pagan. And when she becomes pregnant, she's cast out into the streets, presumably to die. But the director of a Christian orphanage finds her and brings her home, and experiencing love for the very first time, she is now blossoming. She's learned about Jesus, about a God who loves her. She's learning to write, she's learning to draw, she's learning to pray, she's learning to care for her infant daughter. And more significantly, and this really caught me, the director of the orphanage said, probably for the first time in her life, she's smiling. We blossom with love. As a crocus needs the warmth and sunshine of spring, every human being needs the love of God and the love of one another. For Jesus, the main thing is not a law, it is love. And Jesus doesn't simply say, love God. He says, love the Lord your God. We love the God who first loves us. For the Israelite, it was the God who brought them out of Egypt with a mighty hand, the God who led them across the Red Sea, the one who led Abraham and Sarah to a promised land, the one who led them through the wilderness for 40 years and cared for them. It's the love of whom the psalmist speaks. Oh God, you search me and you know me. You know when I lie down, you know when I rise up. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You are familiar with all of my ways. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. Even if I rise on the wings of the dawn and settle on the far side of the sea, even there, you are there, and your right hand will hold me fast. Heard of a woman who was praying during a difficult time of her life, God, help me to find you. But God seemed distant. So a Christian friend suggested that she pray, God, you're the good shepherd who finds lost sheep. Come and find me. And in a few weeks, she ran to her pastor and said, I can tell you the story because he did. He found me. For Jesus, the main thing is not a law, it is love. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, with regard to the second commandment, there was another Pharisee who came to test Jesus one day, and he gave those two commandments, and then, wanting to justify himself, he says, "But who is my neighbor?" And in response, Jesus tells a parable. Late at night on a lonely stretch of I-57 south of Effingham, Harry's car breaks down. And a cell phone service sketchy, he's stuck. And after a while, a car pulls alongside and Harry gets out to meet them and three shadowy figures get out and suddenly one of them hits Harry in the stomach and the others pummel him and take his wallet and everything from the car and they squeal the tires and leave him lying unconscious. About an hour later, a Presbyterian minister happens by. In his headlights, he sees Harry and he slows, but he wants to make the missional church conference in Memphis the next day. And so he hurries on past. Well, then an elder happens by and he thinks it might be a setup, so he too passes by. And then an Al-Qaeda member, who is a member of a sleeper cell plotting mayhem in our country, he happens by and he stops. And he goes up to Harry's battered body and he cradles him like Bobby Huggins cradled LaShawn Butler after the West Virginia star blew out his knee in that Final Four game. And he drives Harry to the hospital and stays to care for him. Now this, of course, is Jesus' parable of the Good Samaritan. But this parable is most often misunderstood. It's not really about helping neighbors in need. What it is redefining what neighbor is. At this time, Jews and Samaritans hate one another. The Samaritans were half-breeds worshiping at a rival temple. The Jews were smug and arrogant, and they felt they had a monopoly on the truth. And so a group of Samaritans, when Jesus was a boy, broke into the temple and slaughtered a herd of pigs, which really helped relations. And ever since that, Samaritans and Jews were virtually at war. But who is it that stops for the wounded man? The Samaritan in Jesus' parable. And by introducing a Samaritan into a Jewish story, Jesus is redefining neighbor. Neighbor is not about kinship. It's not just about geography. It's not even just about liking someone. Our neighbor is anyone in need, regardless of where it is. It could be our next door neighbor, it could be our coworker, it could be the homeless man on the street, it could be a school child in Lisenjala, Malawi. So what is the main thing in our lives as Christ followers? What are the two biggest rocks? They are loving the Lord our God and loving our neighbor as ourselves, whoever that neighbor may be. Now, we're going to be thinking about keeping the main thing, over the next few weeks. But let's focus on one dimension of this first great commandment, to love God with all of our heart. Heart refers to passion and energy and fervor. The players from Duke and Butler played with all of their hearts. When one of them would go to the foul line, it would show the parents in the stands, and they had their hearts in their throats. The hearts of the Duke players soared with exultation when they won. The Butler players were heartbroken when they lost. And it's not surprising that we go through depression if we have a heart attack, because our heart, the organ that gives us life, that pumps our blood, that gives us strength, is threatened. Now think about this. Jesus calls us to fear God and obey God and believe in God, but that's not the main thing. God calls us to love him with all of our hearts. God is personal, and being personal, what he desires most of all is to love us into wholeness and to be loved in return. And most of us struggle to grasp this. In our culture, achievements is what is most important, it seems. Making the team, hitting the free throw, getting the degree, making the business grow, raising good kids, being successful. But, you know, I think again about Mark's teddy bear. You know, Teddy has been vomited on. He's been dragged all over the place. He's been lost. He's, you know, goodness knows where he's been. He's been washed over and over again. Stuffing is coming out. But Teddy is Teddy, and Teddy isn't loved because he's important. He's important because he's loved. When we get caught up in performance, in the world's value system, in listing our achievements, we miss the heart of the gospel. One of the ways we love God is by letting God love us. Then, secure in his love, we're free to serve joyfully, to live passionately, and to live with hope and abandon. There's a movie called Three Seasons, which is a series of vignettes about post-war Vietnam. And one of the stories depicts a rickshaw driver named Hai who is in love with a beautiful prostitute named Lan. And both are miserable. Hai loves Lan, but she is out of his price range. And Lan lives in grinding poverty and longs to live in the elegant hotels where she works, but she's never able to spend the night. And then Hai enters a bicycle race, and he wins a significant amount of money. And with the money, he brings Lan to the hotel, and he pays for the night, and he pays for her fee. But he tells her, "I only want to watch you fall asleep. For one night, I want you to have what you long for the most." And Lan doesn't get it. She doesn't understand until finally she realizes it's all about grace. It's all about Hai's unconditional love for her. And then, grasping that she is loved and therefore has dignity, she realizes that she can never go back to her former life. The main thing is to love God with all of our hearts. But don't hear this as demand, hear it as invitation. We are loved at the cost of our Lord's own body and blood. He is near, in the words of an old Scottish prayer, nearer than hands and feet, nearer than even breath. So let him love you into wholeness, and in relationship, love him in return. And let this love spill over to your next door neighbor and your quarrelsome coworker and to those that God places in your path. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that is keeping the main thing. The main thing.